It's interesting that in our liturgy today, the word ransom comes three times. Peter's letter, this part that we have today, you have been ransomed from your futile conduct that was handed on to you from your ancestors. And you've been ransomed, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now the word ransom here, litrosis, evokes the image of somebody, a slave, or a prisoner of war, or somebody condemned to prison with no hope, and somebody else pays the price and gets them out. That's a ransom. In other words, Peter's telling us here, you had no hope. There was nothing you could look forward to except death in this world and in the next. But Jesus came among you. And he paid the ransom. Now, who did he pay it to? The ransom is not to be paid to someone. It's to be endured for someone. And that he did for us, you see. And that's why it's not like with, you can't pay cash and get out of sin. You know. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless and unblemished lamb. And then it goes on to describe him known before the foundation of the world, revealed in the final time for you. And now, since that's the case, since you have purified yourselves, oh, I'd like that, right? Get purified. Get rid of the sin, for heaven's sake. Well, here's the answer. By obedience to the truth. And why do we obey the truth? What's the fruit of that? Sincere love. Sincere love among the brethren. Purification makes room, enables us to have a pure love for each other. You see? You've been born anew. Let me get this. Years ago, not anymore. One of these presidential campaigns about 20 years ago. Everybody was saying they were born again. You remember that time? Well, they weren't. But they kind of wished they were, I guess. And so, you see, but it's the word of the Lord that remains forever. And this is the word that has been proclaimed to you. The word, is what? God became incarnate. And God paid the price for our ransom. So now we are free. And then they echo that in the Alleluia. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. And then we have the third passion prediction. In the Synoptics, following the example of Mark, our Lord predicts his passion three times. This is the third time in Mark. Every time he predicts his passion, it's followed by a totally inept response on the part of the disciples. Why did Mark structure it that way and the other two follow him more or less? To wake us up. We don't get it. See, the first time it was because suffering is unfitting. Remember, our Lord prophesied, and Peter said, oh, not for you, Lord. I mean, oh. And what did he say to him? Get out of my way, Satan. You're Satan right now, Peter. My close friend, I'm going to make you Pope, but right now you're Satan. Get out of there. That was the first response. In other words, they didn't get it. And then the second one, which was a little while ago, and then they're walking along, and Jesus said, what were you talking about as you were on the way? Well, which one of us is the greatest? The other block to understanding the meaning of the passion, the ransom, you see? And then this last one, you see, predicts his passion And Mark, who's a great storyteller, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you see, they will scourge him, put him to death, but after 3 days he will rise, and they don't miss a beat. James and John go up and say, we want you to do, they don't say, gee, that's terrible. They don't say anything. They want to be the two big shots. You see the obstacles to understanding the passion? It's not whether or not we know Greek. It's whether or not we want to humble ourselves and serve each other. And so they ask this question. And he says to them, and here you got to admire, they're right about this part. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to get? Are you going to drink the chalice? They say, yeah. And he says, you're right, you will, you know. You'll both be martyred. But to give this place to my right hand and left, that's for the Father to give out. You see? And then, to try to counteract so that we maybe will understand the passion, he gives us a little more instruction. You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones make their authority felt. But it shall not be like this among you. Anybody wants to be a big shot, start little shot. And if you're smart, because that's where the big shot is, stay there. It's not that if you get to be a little shot, I'll give you a promotion, because if I give you a promotion, I'm taking you away from the most privileged place in the kingdom, where I am myself. And so he says, you see, whoever wishes to be great, be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first, be the slave of all. So if anybody wants to be first, okay, be our slave. That's what it says, doesn't it? And then our Lord says, for the Son of Man himself, the incarnate Word of God himself, didn't come to be served, but to serve. And now for the last time, we finally find out what this ransom is. To give his life as a ransom for many. That's the service. That's the diakonia. The word in Greek for that is, didn't come to be diakoniste, to be served, but diakone, to serve. And so you see, to be zealous, to serve one another, to be zealous, to love one another, you see, that's the way to genuine enlightenment. And also to access to the endurance we need to give our lives.